There is a particular power, I believe, in what we're going to look at today to transform our lives. And you remember
the last time I was teaching,
we looked at one of the goals of teaching, the goals of shepherding, and extended out the goals of the church. One of the things that we want to see accomplished in the body. And if you look at verse 12, that the different parts of the body would be equipped, or the King James says, perfected. In other words, one of the goals is to see the individuals of the body conform to the image of Christ. That is the goal when we come together like this. That's one of the goals, to see people conformed and perfected to the image of Christ. That should be the passion of every shepherd, every elder, pastor. That should be a driving passion, to see people conformed to the image of Christ. And you can see how that slips over into evangelism. And it's not just supposed to stay with the shepherd. It's supposed to be throughout the whole body. That should be something that we desire to see, and it should be a goal of ours, and the things that we do as a church is to see people conform to the image of Christ. You can see how that fulfills the goal of bringing glory to God. The more we are like Christ, the more glory it comes back to God. The more we are like Christ, the more we have His desires, the more we have His character, the more we do His work. You see, we don't do His work through ambition or some outward goal. We do it from an inward motivation of becoming like Christ. And then we do it in His power. And we learn from the first three chapters of Ephesians these inexhaustible resources that are found in Christ. And something we're going to learn today is one way of accessing, if you want to put it like that, those resources. The inexhaustible, limitless resources of Christ. So what we're going to talk about today is one way that we are able to get in touch with those. That we can, those things can go to work in our life and go to work in our ministry and be effective and seen in the body. So with that in mind, a couple of things that we covered last week in this first part of chapter 4 is that we cannot accomplish God's purposes on this earth if we are not connected to a community of believers. We have to be in an integral part of a community of believers. That's just how God works. That's just how He chose to do it. For more reasons than we can list. For one, our ineffectiveness, our blindness, that we can't see our own faults. It takes some interaction and shepherding and teaching and accountability to even be able to deal with our own faults. Nobody has all the gifts to be effective in the work of the Lord. The most outstanding, the deepest spiritual believer, they can't go it alone. They need to be within the context of a body and moving more and more towards unity with that body. And one of the things that we are doing together is that we are seeing one another perfected, seeing one another conformed to the image of Christ. And one of the themes that we've had in this church, that we think that we repeat over and over, is the importance of investing in others. That is, whether that's in sharing the gospel or whether that's making an investment in somebody that's already a believer, those eternal investments. That's been a theme of ours, and with the goal of seeing people conform to the image of Christ. So, and we've talked about this, kingdom outpost homes. And I shared with you that this is one of the most difficult things to actually see come to fruition, to really see happen in the church, is actually to see people that are living their lives for the purposes of Christ. And so one expression of that is that I like to use that kingdom outpost home just because it gives a picture, you know, that your home is for the purposes of God. So everything you do out of that home and the things you don't do come from that desire to build up the kingdom, that desire for the purposes of Christ. So, in line with that, I asked you this last week, where are you? How is your ministry? Who are you investing your life in? And for what purpose? See, we can invest our lives in people for the wrong purpose, for selfish gain. And that's sometimes hard to discern. So for what is your purpose for investing? And are you investing? What is your ministry? So what we're doing this morning is preparing you for that ministry. Not that I'm here training teachers necessarily. Now, if you are gifted in teaching, then you'll gain from just being here and following and getting engaged, then you'll gain some ability. It is some training for teaching in that sense, but that's not the goal. The goal is to see you perfected, and then that whatever ministry that you do is that Christ is seen in that ministry. That is the best equipping that you will ever receive. Going to seminary is not the best equipping you will receive. The best equipping you will receive happens within the context of the local body and being yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit personally and through the Word and through prayer and being conformed to the image of Christ. So that should be your goal. And there should be some intensity about that goal, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is what prepares you for your calling. And you do have a calling. You do have a purpose and you have a ministry. Maybe you haven't discovered it yet. You may be even doing it and you haven't really recognized it yet. But you need to be prepared to do what God has called you to do. And so part of this, this chapter 4, that's what through verses 1 through 16, that's basically, and it finishes off there where every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So this, and we talked about this, there's no, this division between the laity and the congregation. Those are all man's terms. Those are not biblical terms. That we are in this to, yes, there is leadership and there is shepherding and there are leadership gifts. But the ministry of the church is to be done by the whole church. And so part of the job of the church is to equip each believer to do that ministry and that service that they are called to. So a critical point in that we're going to get to today is something you need to understand about your walk with the Lord, how it works, some of the nuts and bolts. And we've covered this information before, but here we run across it again, so we'll cover it again. So the first thing I'm just going to do an overview of verses 17 through 24. And to give you a little bit of where this is going, so you can look there in your Bibles, verses 17 through 24. So first Paul is going to say here, we'll read this, I'll give you a little bit of explanation before we'll just read straight through it in a minute. The first thing he's going to say is, don't live as the Gentiles live. In other words, don't live like you used to live. Don't do the things you used to do. Don't think the way you used to think. Don't react the way you used to react. And then he goes on to say, the Gentiles are living in the dark and they're indulging in impurity and lusting for more. Now, when we hear that word, we automatically think lusting of a specific sins, but it could be lusting over whatever the flesh desires. It could be materialism. It could be anything that we are following the flesh, the old nature, the Adam nature. So, what he's saying here is no longer live as Gentiles. Don't do this anymore. You don't live this way anymore. Some things in your life need to change. And then he goes on to describe how the things that need to change. And then he has this connection here. He's going to say, but. So he has these two, there's two statements there. Don't live as they used to live. Here's how they live. And then he's going to say, but you were taught in Jesus Christ to live differently. And then he's going to tell them what they've been taught and how they can live differently. And this refers, what they were taught in Jesus Christ refers to the gospel. And we won't go there, but Colossians 1:27 says, in the mystery of the gospel that was sort of revealed in the New Testament is Christ in you. Christ lives in you. So this is going to be the answer to a change in your life, is to knowing that Christ lives in you, to believe in it, to act in like Christ lives in you. So There's those two statements he makes, and he says, but you don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to be controlled by your emotions like that because you were taught different. And here's what you were taught. And then he says, the first thing you were taught was to put off the old nature, to put off the flesh, to not be controlled by that old nature, because that nature is being corrupted. It does not get any better. The things that you ever struggled with, it's possible that you would struggle with those same things again because that sin nature has not improved. In fact, according to this verse, it seems like it gets worse as time goes on. It doesn't improve. So just being a Christian for 20 years doesn't mean you've improved. It means you have availability of a new nature that you could be living by. But it doesn't mean that you've improved automatically. We are taught to put off the old nature. That's right. And then here's the second thing he's told them. This is how and why you can live differently. Because you've been taught to put on the new nature that is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, to be like Jesus. You put on the new nature. The new nature does not sin. Now, we certainly can sin. That's the old nature that does that. That's our old, the flesh. The new nature is what grows and grows, matures, becomes more like Christ. And we'll talk about that some more as we go through this. So let's read this. Now that little bit of introduction, follow along, and we'll just read the whole section here. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. Remember, the first three chapters, Paul was just going on, in a sense, deep theology, all these wonderful things. Now he's saying, okay, you know all this stuff. Now I expect you to live differently. I expect you to think differently. I expect you to act differently. I insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ in that way. There's our but. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Now, some will say in the spirit of your minds, and what that's getting to, both of those are getting to, is that you're made new in this tendency of your mind and the things you think about and the leanings of your mind that when you're in the flesh, the leanings of your mind are in that direction. When you are controlled by the new nature, then you have different leanings of the mind. If that's confusing, I think it'll become more clear as we go along here. I'll find where I was. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, the new man, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, he's going to go on there and talk about specific sins. We're not going to get into those things today. Now, Paul is always so good about it. He lists specific sins, and that helps us to know that I need to quit this, doing this. Maybe there's a problem with anger. I need to quit doing anger. But the problem of me being angry all the time is not just anger itself. There's a flesh issue. There's a what am I being controlled by issue. And he's going to deal with that first, of putting on the new, putting off the old, and putting on the new. So, if you're not familiar with this, I think most of us are, but we're born with a sin nature. We inherited that from Adam. That is, Cain and Abel were born outside of the garden. Cain and Abel were born with a tendency of self-dependence, to not depend on God, to go their own way and not go God's way. That is the sin nature. And usually if you are reading the Bible and it says sin singular, it's usually in some way referring to that sin nature. It's also called the old nature, the Adam nature, the flesh. Those are all different names for the same thing. That Adam nature, sin nature, the old man. Now, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. We have a new nature. We've been given a new nature. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Then why do we still sin? Why do we get bitter? Why do we fret? Why do we become anxious? Why do we get moody? We don't have to. Why do we do that? We have been set free from that old nature. It was crucified. It thought it's a done deal. It was that old nature. You see, before we were identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we had no ability, no hope to live like Christ, to live differently. We could not put on the new. Now, when we were saved, we accept with that old nature was put to death, separated from us, our old master. Now, you learn in the firm foundations that death, that usually means separated from. So we've been separated. No longer has control over us. So we still can go back to being controlled by that old nature. And when we do, the fruit of that should be obvious. It will be obvious. But we are new creatures. Now, these short verses here in this passage of put off the old, put on the new. This is kind of a condensed theology of dealing with these things and how to grow spiritually. It's like just this really condensed section. How do we grow spiritually? Or how do we become conformed to the image of Christ? How do we become perfected? How do we mature? How do we bear much fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and those things? How do we bear that fruit? It's right here. We put on the new. How do we do our part in the church in love? We put on the new. Now, these verses also give us hope. They give us hope when we're struggling. They give us hope when we don't have peace. They give us hope when we're anxious. They give us hope when we sin. And they give us hope when we see other Christians sin. And we see other Christians not doing what they ought to do. It gives us hope because they can and we can live differently. Now, what these verses, what they don't immediately reveal, this is compact. So what they don't immediately reveal is the sometimes ferocious battle involved in putting off the old and putting on the new. And also they don't reveal our tendency for self-deception. Because we don't want to look at it. We don't really want to look at the issue of being controlled by the old nature. We resist looking at that. Now, these things you can pick up throughout the pages of Scripture, that there's a ferocious battle and that we have a tendency towards self-deception. And you can learn that from taking your own experiences and superimposing them on the pages of Scripture and see other people in Scripture that have struggled with the same things. And, of course, the familiar passage for that is Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do. I have this battle going on in me. I don't live like I want to live. I don't love like I want to love. I don't have peace like I want to have peace. I don't serve like I want to serve. I'm living for myself. Why do I do that? There is a battle between the old and the new. Now, it's a battle that we can win and we must win. We get these patterns of sin. And because we submitted to that flesh for so long, we may tend to submit again. And we just want to have our own way and do what we want to do. Now, I have been a part of this battle, obviously, for myself. And I've also been a part of this battle for many, many people. And I've taught extensively on this topic. And I'm very aware. I'm not saying I'm always successful. I'm just saying I'm very aware. I'm very aware of my flesh. I've been a Christian for quite a few years now. But I'm very aware of the flesh in my own walk. And I have set up camp many times in Romans chapter 6. If this is your struggle, you need to go there and let the Word transform you and put the brakes on your flesh. Romans chapter 6, and we'll go there today before we get through. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is your pleasing act of worship, that act, that surrender, submitting to the Holy Spirit, submitting your life to God. Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 5:22-25. There's some other places in Colossians also, but I have camped out in these verses. I mean, I've read them. I've gone through periods of my life that I've read Romans chapter 6 every single day for months on end. Because I knew there was a battle going on and I wanted to win it. I wanted the new nature to win it. So that is maybe some element that you don't get. It says put off the old, put on the new. Well, why isn't that happening with me? I did that yesterday. Why? I tried to do it 10 minutes ago and why? There's a battle there. Some of the best opportunities for growth. So you know what? I'm going to read Galatians 5:22 before we get too far. Give you that picture of what it's supposed to be like. When we are controlled by the new nature, controlled by the new man. Now, what this doesn't address is service, because when we are controlled by the new man, we will eventually minister because we have the heart of Christ. We have a concern and a care for others. But here's the character of it. But the fruit of the, you could say the fruit of the new man, the evidence of the new man, the evidence of putting on the new man. So you can say, and we won't read the opposite of the verses just preceding this, tells what the old man looks like. But instead, we'll look at the positive for this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so, as I have struggled through these many times, I've kind of thought about this as like I'm walking down a pathway like an electric fence on each side. And I'm walking down this pathway at peace, and I'm able to love others, and I'm concerned about the things of God, and all of a sudden, I'm anxious. Zzz. That's a red flag. That's a warning. The old man wants me. I know that needs to be dealt with. I go over here. Maybe there's lust. I go here. There's bitterness. You see, those are the fruit. That's the fruit of the old man. I need to take that off and put on the new. Now, when I say I need to do that, it's not the only reason there's any hope of me doing that. I've already said this. Is it because of Christ living in me? Christ living in you. That's our only hope to do that. It's just a yieldingness to Him. It's just a quit fighting Him. But we do tend to fight. And I don't want you to be shocked at your own self-will. That's why we're talking about this right now. I don't want you to be shocked at your own self-will. I'm not shocked at your self-will. I'm not shocked at mine. Some of the best opportunity to deal with these things, to deal with this in a very real, practical way, is when things are not going like you want them to go. When things are not going like you want them to go, and we are forced to deal with the war within. Now that war, you may have been losing that war, and you haven't been even aware of it. You're kind of behind the eight ball. Something happens, things don't go your way. Things aren't turning out like you wanted them to turn out. Maybe your life is not turning out like you wanted it to turn out. And there's a war that begins to rage in you of how you want to respond to these circumstances, to this person, to the things around you. And there's an opportunity at this time to win the war because you have to deal with it. You don't have to deal with it in the right way, but it's there. It's there. It's plaguing you. It's on your mind. It's pursuing you because you're discontent or you're angry or something along those lines. So we want to be very careful in these circumstances, in these situations, that we do not indulge the flesh. So maybe if you look at someone else, it's easier to take. That we don't indulge another person's complaining and their refusal to put off the old self. And then now go ahead and apply that to yourself. You know that endless complaining? That is indulging the flesh. When you sit and listen and never deal with the issue of the flesh, someone else's repetitive. Do you notice how it gets like that? It repeats itself. Have you ever noticed complaining just says blah, 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 blah. It just keeps on coming back to the same thing. Back to the same thing. And then it intensifies. Then it intensifies. The same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. And you hear it from somebody. And then you maybe say, oh, I do that too. But it's easier to recognize it in somebody else because it gets annoying. It keeps coming. But if that is coming at you and you're dealing with somebody else, then as it says in Romans 13:5 in the New King James, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. When you just allow yourself or allow that, I'm not saying not to have mercy, and we'll get to that in a minute, but we are to make no provision for the flesh. Difficult things bring this out. And our focus tends to become how hard this is rather than on His limitless provision. He has limitless provision for your difficult circumstances, for your decisions that you cannot make. We saw that in the first three chapters. He has limitless provision, overabundant amounts of love for you. As you learned last week, His sovereignty can handle it. So, our tendency is to look at how hard it is rather than to look to Him, His limitless provision. The things that difficult circumstances teach us is that we're not walking. We could get by with it when things were easy. When the difficult circumstances, wake up. You haven't been, the new man is not in control. The flesh is in control. So, putting off the old man is not just for temptation circumstances. When I read Romans chapter 6, let's go to Romans chapter 6 real quick. We'll probably have to go back there. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We could spend all day here, obviously. But down to verse 4. Well, let's see, verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were identified with the death of Jesus is what that means. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we were identified with the death of Jesus. That old nature is dead. We don't have to submit to it. We've been given a new life, the life of Christ. We've been united with Him. We know our old self was crucified with Him, down in verse 6, so that the body of sin may be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Sin, singular, not just slaves to that specific problem sin. Slaves to the sin nature. We don't have to submit to the sin nature. What's the sin nature? You know, the fruit is anxiousness. It's bitterness. It's anger. It's resentment. It's unhappiness. It's all those things. A lack of joy. That is the fruit. We don't have to submit to the sin nature. That is done away with. We should no longer be slaves to sin, the sin nature, because anyone who has died has been freed. So let's go down to verse 11, and it says, so in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. So how do you put this into effect? You believe it to be true. In simple terms, I've given you the information. It's right here in the Bible. Believe it. When you really, truly believe it, submit to the Holy Spirit, you will have the fruit of the new nature. Now, the temptation here is to look at this and say, okay, and apply this just to specific sins, okay? I'm angry with someone. So, I know I'm wrong. That's a hard place to get to. I know I'm wrong. How do I deal with that? I can't change my anger. Well, I reckon it to be true. I count it to be true. I'm dead to the sin nature, so I don't have to be angry. And so I'm going to go and not be angry by faith. Believe it or not, that works. I'm not saying that you will be successful every time, but when you really submit and you really believe it and you really want to, you can do away with the sin. You don't have to fall to the temptation of whatever temptation it is. But I don't want to apply this just to a specific sin, you understand? I want you to apply it to a specific sin and to the sin nature. To these bad circumstances bring out what we need to deal with. Putting off the old man. And that is the beauty of difficult circumstances. Situations that you don't know the answer to. You don't know the outcome. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to end up. What do? You feel that knot in your stomach. That's what you do. You get anxious. You fret. You don't sleep. You tell everybody and their brother about it. You complain and you complain. And no answer comes. Somebody gives you good counsel. You don't receive it. What needs to happen is you need to put off the old and put on the new. And you can do that because that old nature has been crucified and it has been put to death. But in one sense, you need to put it to death. That means you need to separate it from you, and you have the ability to do that by faith. If you have trusted in Christ, you have the ability to do that. You have no excuses for responding and continuing to respond with the fruit of the old nature. It tells us that the difficult circumstances make us deal with what's already there. It lets us know the flesh is alive and well and dominating. And it was being tricky before. It was being elusive before. And now there it is, full force, dominating you and obvious, probably, you're in a difficult circumstance anyway, to those around you. As I said, I think one thing to be alert to is it exhibits itself as repetitive complaining. Now, some people just don't complain out loud, and some people do. Some people complain internally, and they do repetitive complaining inside their own head. So you're not excused from this just because you're not a talker. It can be going on inside of you. It is making provision for the flesh. That's what that's doing. If you continue on in that cycle, it's making provision for the flesh. And sometimes we can tend to help others make provision for the flesh and make provision for their flesh. And that really becomes a downward spiral. Anger and depression are also common in this place. Indulge yourself and others here, and you are aiding and abetting the enemy. When you indulge yourself in this process, and when you indulge other people in this process, you're aiding and abetting the enemy because Satan uses that old nature, that flesh that we have. He knows about it. And it's just on its own without Satan. It's powerful. Of course, we must deal mercifully with others because we know that we have responded in the same fashion that they are responding. So we deal mercifully. But still, we don't indulge the flesh. We are to put off and put to death the flesh, the old man, the old way of responding to circumstances, situations, and people. We are to crucify the old man. Why don't you finally do it? Crucify the old man. Maybe you have never really dealt with it in that fashion. Maybe you've toyed around with it in that fashion. Crucify. Learn how to do that. Crucify. How do you learn how to do it? Go back to those verses. Get into it. Dig into them. Though the Word will show you, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you through the Word how to do that if you're willing to yield. It needs to die, not be soothed. Not be soothed. And we tend to soothe it in ourselves. If we soothe it in ourselves, we tend to soothe it in others. So when you put your arm around them and you say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you're yielding to the flesh. Gentleness. But we don't need to soothe and make provision for the flesh. Crucify the old man. It needs to die. This happens through full identification. Romans 6, we just read that. It happens through identification, recognizing, believing That old nature has no more control over you. The old nature is not your master. Galatians 2:20 says it best. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. You meditate on that and believe it to be true, because you can say it with honesty. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. It's by faith that this happens. You believe it to be true. You reckon it to be true. It's a done deal. Quit living like it's not a done deal. We don't have to submit to that. And as long as we waffle on this, as long as we never learn what it means to crucify the flesh, we will never be useful in the kingdom. We will never fulfill what God called us to fill. We'll never do our part in the body. In fact, you will be a source of division in the body when you stay in the flesh, when you stay there. Warning. If you're going into this territory, there's this warning sign here. Maybe there ought to be, you can write that in your Bible. Repentance and perseverance required. The reason I say perseverance is because of our own sinfulness. Because it has a done deal, really. It really is a done deal, technically. Of course, there is repentance. Of course, there is specific sin to repent of. And we need to deal with specific sin. But don't stop with specific sin. Oh, God, I'm sorry I didn't trust you with that. Deal with the issue. The issue is your flesh. You are yielding to, being dominated by the old man. Deal with it. Recognize it. See it for what it is. It's more serious than you think. Oh, it was just a little sin. No, it was the flesh. It just popped out right there. But the flesh is in control. And the flesh needs to be crucified. It may seem like no big deal. But if putting off the old is not dealt with, the flesh will be running the show. The flesh wants to run the show. The flesh wants back on the throne. Let's go to 1 John 1:5-10. There's another verse there, John 8:12, that talks about Jesus being the light of the world. And basically the idea there is that we need to bring our sin out into the light. It needs to be dealt with, not hid. But 1 John is the one we'll read. 1 John 1:5-10. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. There it is again. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We saw how holiness and righteousness is a part of the new man, the new nature. We put on the new nature, and we live differently. purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. And if you want to grow in your walk, and if you want to learn to abide in Him, and if you want to, we did an extensive study on abiding back in February of 2006. But if you want to abide, this is a concept you need to understand, is putting to death the flesh and walking under control of the Holy Spirit. The new man, not the old. And if you want to grow, you will persevere in recognizing and repenting of specific sin. Repentance needs to be a part of your walk if you would abide, if you would put on the new man. Repenting of specific sin, but also of self and the flesh being in control. Let's go to Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. I think that gives us a little taste there of this deliverance, salvation, of being continually delivered from control of the flesh, that there's a battle involved there. It's a battle we can win. But there is a struggle there, and if we don't recognize that, we're fooling ourselves. We need to know that that struggle is there, and we need to be willing to persevere and work through that, to not give up because we fail. It's no shock to God when you fail, but to persevere, repent, put off the old, put on the new. I think that being alert to and aware of what's going on in this battle helps to make us victorious. That's what the word, it's informing us, teaching us, empowering us. The Puritans dealt with the issue like this. They had three steps, kind of. They had all kind of little things like this, but three steps. Know your enemy. And that's what I just was telling you. Know your enemy. The enemy is sin, the sin nature. It is specific sins, and it is Satan. Your enemy, the flesh. So know your enemy. Be alert to the wiles of your enemy. Not just the wiles of Satan, but your flesh. Be alert to the old nature. Number two, know your own personal weaknesses, characteristics, and habits. Patterns. Your patterns of sin. You have them, I have them. Because you were regularly committing sin at one time. And that develops a pattern of committing sin. Maybe it's pride, maybe it's selfishness, maybe it's lust, maybe it's lying, maybe it's gossip, maybe whatever it is. You have patterns of sin. Now, we talked about this a while back, too. Remember, we used the example of, you have that old pair of shoes. You know, they may look terrible, and your wife doesn't want you to wear them, but you like to slip into them because, man, your foot is just formed to them. And you're just comfortable there with them. It just feels, it's just comfortable. You feel good in your own skin, kind of. Well, you have patterns of sin. Things that you can fall back into. You need to know what your patterns of sin is. That is one avenue that the flesh uses to take back the throne. You need to be alert to those things and deal with them. That was number two. Number three, know your friend, the grace of God. Because grace will change you. Grace will forgive you. Grace will empower you. So, if it was me, I would begin and end with grace. You can put them on both ends of that little list. And this will bring honesty and hope. Here's why. When you're really aware of grace, the depth of the grace of God, you are more likely to acknowledge your sin. If you're a legalist and you don't know much about the grace of God, then you just sin, you just don't admit it. But when you know and have experienced and are aware and attuned to the grace of God, oh God, here it is, I sinned, I rebelled against you. That's all I wanted. Forgiveness. That's all I wanted. Forgive us. Put on the new man. Go on. Sin no more. The grace of God. When you really are in tune with the grace of God, you are more likely to acknowledge your sin. When's the last time you acknowledged your sin? You're more likely to do it if you're aware of the grace of God. And here's the thing. We don't like to acknowledge the depth of our sin. When that flesh is in control, everybody may not see it all. It is ugly. It's ugly. The depth of our sin. See, what I mean by the depth of your sin, what I really like for you to see there is that, again, I'd like to, that it's not just that specific sin. I told a white lie. I had some bitterness. I didn't react right. But why did you have that bitterness? Why did you not react right? It was the flesh. The old man was in control. And that's where it revealed itself in that little white lie, that nothing thing. But the flesh was dominating. And you will not grow while you're in the flesh. You will not become like Christ while you're walking in the flesh. You will not do the things you're called to do
while you're walking in the flesh. If you walk in the flesh from today until next week, no growth will take place. If you walk in the flesh, or maybe you're just a really off and on, and you every day, for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, you'll be the same place then that you are now. You have to walk in the Spirit to grow. And that fruit that you bear will become more and more evident. That too will grow. The awareness of grace, though, makes it possible to hear and deal with very difficult things about our sin patterns, doesn't it? We don't want to hear about our sin patterns. You know, maybe if I told you, I didn't like, you know, why were you mean to me the other day? And you could say, oh, I'm sorry. I was having a bad day. But maybe there's a sin pattern. You wouldn't be so willing to hear if I approached you with your sin pattern. That is a tougher thing to hear. But when you are in tune with the grace of God, you're a lot more willing to hear about your sin pattern because you know there's an answer. And you know there's absolute, complete forgiveness, acceptance from God because of His grace and His love for you. If you're aware of that grace, you will be able to acknowledge your sin, the depth of it, the pattern of it, and how long it's been going on, and your refusal to admit it. And then that will lead to repentance. And repentance leads to rest. Ah, man. Rest. The knot is gone. The anxiousness is gone. The peace is there. The love for my brothers and sisters is there. The patience with my brothers and sisters, with my family, is there. The love for the lost is there. The willingness to sacrifice is there. Repentance must happen, though. There must be repentance, and if you can't acknowledge specific sin and acknowledge that the old man has been dominating, the old man has been in control. And we dealt again with that pattern, that idea. If you want to go back and delve into that some more, the idea of sin patterns. We went into a lot of detail about putting off and putting on back in February of 2005, and the series was Living a Holy Life. And we talked a lot about patterns of sin. But I think you already have enough information, just what we have this morning. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you already have enough information to go to Him with a word, repent, and crucify the flesh. Kick Him off the throne. Deal with it. Deal with it. We will never be what we need to be as a church. You'll never be. You'll never take your place in this body or anybody. Unless this happens. Unless the new nature is in control. A refusal here often stops growth. A refusal here stops growth. It stops effectiveness. It stops intimacy with Christ. And of course, it prevents the kind of relationships and body life described in the first part of chapter 4. It will only, it will only be by a mighty work of the Holy Spirit that you will even hear what has been said this morning. It takes the Holy Spirit to break through the flesh. I cannot do that. I can't beat you over the head hard enough. It takes the Holy Spirit to make you aware and to deal with the flesh being in control. Put on the new self and abide in Christ. John 15:5, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, I will abide in you. That connection to the nourishment of the vine, that fellowship with Him, that continual, and just because you're not aware of it for 10 minutes or an hour, that doesn't mean that it stopped. You're abiding in Him. You're growing. You're becoming more like Him. In fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18 for a little bit more on that. We're almost done. Here's what happens when we are walking in the Spirit, when the flesh has been put to death, when the new man is in control. This is able to happen. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If you are walking in the Spirit, this should be what's going on in your life. You should be being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory. And we use this example back when we were going through this, we got it from that book, Changing His Image, this example of somebody comes back from a vacation or something, and you see they just have this glowing tan. And everybody notices that they know they've been outside, they've been in the presence of the sun. That there's the result. It's just they get tanner and tanner. And there's this same result when we are in the presence of God. We become more and more like Him. We become with a spiritual tan. And then what happens when you quit exposing yourself to that? It fades. It goes. It's no longer obvious. It's no longer seen in you, the fruit of the Spirit. We must put off the flesh by faith. Then we can experience true growth and peace and resources, the limitless resources for all the opportunities and all the challenges that come our way. Rest in Him. Let Him have the weight. Roll the burden off onto Jesus. That's what we can do when we're not controlled by the flesh. We can let Him carry the load. He knows where it's going. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to give us everything we need. He promises to do that. But He wants us to trust Him. So are you worried? Are you stressed? Are you powerless to do what you feel called to do? Because of who He is and what He has done, He has given us everything we need. So let's read quickly these two more passages and then we'll be done. Galatians 2:20 we'll read first. Actually, let's save that one for last. Hold your finger there. Let's read Ephesians where we just were. Ephesians 22-24. You were taught, I can say you were taught today. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And Galatians 2:20. I hope you can say this internally to God now. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Don't be discouraged. If this is a battle, if it's a war, don't be discouraged. If it's a war, if you fail, because this is a battle that you absolutely can win, because you have all of the resources to do that, because you have been crucified with Christ. Believe it.